Well, hey, everyone, I'm Pastor Judd Wilhite, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You know, Central's a place where it's okay to not be okay, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. What an incredible time of worship with Central Live. We want to thank all of you for joining us online. Shout out to all of our Central locations, especially that Sunrise Mountain location. We love you guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
That's right. And we also want to welcome those of you who are joining us through our partnership with God Behind Bars.
Yes.
We are so thankful that you're here today. We are with you. We see you. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But speaking of the holidays, we're getting ready to start a brand new series called Christmas Bonus. So why don't you help me welcome warmly our pastor, Pastor Judd.
Good to see you guys today. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving this past week. How many of you ate too much on Thanksgiving? Yeah, that's typical, right? You see how those Cowboys destroyed the Redskins again? I'm just saying, gloat while you can. It was a great week for us. And right before Thanksgiving, I started to get the Christmas stuff out because it's kind of that time of year, you know, like, so I got the decorations out. I was getting them out of the garage and I was getting the tree out and all the things and getting ready to take it inside the house. And this little bitty kid comes riding by on his bike and he sees me and he goes, "Is that your Christmas tree?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "It's not even Thanksgiving yet." I'm like, "Well, if you're special, you can celebrate Christmas even at Thanksgiving. Maybe you should go tell your parents you want a tree this year before Thanksgiving." Anyway, he just kind of looked at me, gave me a weird look, and rode off, but got it all set up. Yeah, it's good. It's also time for Christmas movies. I don't know if any of you are into Christmas movies, but like, this has got to be one of the all-time classic Christmas movies, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase. How many of you love this one, going back? You remember what the plot of this movie is about? So it's easy to forget, but the plot was about Clark in the movie, Chevy Chase character, how he's waiting for a Christmas bonus from his employer. He's going to put a pool in the backyard, remember? And he's all excited, and he gets the envelope, and the whole family's around, and he opens the envelope, and he's expecting this huge bonus that he's already spent in many ways to put that pool in the backyard, and he opens it, and it's not money at all. It's a subscription to the Jelly of the Month Club. You remember this? Cousin Eddie says it's the gift that keeps on giving. And then he has a total mental breakdown in the movie. I don't know if you get a Christmas bonus at your job or at your work. I can remember the first time I ever got a Christmas bonus. I didn't know it was coming. It was one of my early jobs years ago, and it was $100. Like, here's your Christmas bonus. I remember $100. I was like, wow, this is so cool. $100, I didn't know it was coming. This is going to help with Christmas gifts. I was so excited, right? Then the second year came around, and it was $100 again. And this time I was like, oh, that's nice. I was kind of expecting it. And then the third year comes around, and by the time I got my $100, I had already spent it, you know what I'm saying? And I was kind of grumbling that it wasn't more. It was just a measly $100. And this is, I think, what happens in our hearts and in our lives, right? We tend to grow from gratitude, if we're not careful, to grumbling. And it happens quick. I mean, you think about that thing that you got, whatever it is. Let's say you got a new puppy, just theoretically. And you get this puppy about a year ago, and you're so excited. You got a new puppy. It's awesome. But now a year's gone by. And, man, they chew stuff up. They shed everywhere. They leave atomic odors, you know, in the house. And it's easy to look at that pet that you got, that you love so much, that you were so grateful for, and to start to grumble. Am I the only one that scoops the poop? Anybody else around this house do that? Am I the only one that feeds the animal? Anybody else take care of that? Does anybody else clean up the dog hair? Is it just me? Maybe you get that new job, you're so grateful, you're excited, you prayed for this job, and then a year later you're looking around at overtime hours and all the workload and all the stuff, and you get just the gratitude turns to grumble. You fall in love with somebody, it's amazing, you get married. I remember before Lori and I got married, I told her, I can't wait till we marry. I'm so excited about all of my stuff being around all of your stuff. I just didn't know what that meant, but I was excited. A while back, I walked into our master bathroom, and I looked at the kitchen, at the bathroom sink, and it literally looked like a hair salon exploded all over the sink. And Lori looked at me. She does this to me often. She says, "It's all my stuff around all your stuff." Isn't that what you wanted? I'm like, yeah, that's what I prayed for. We start with gratitude sometimes, but we don't. But it can be a challenge to kind of stay with gratitude. Maybe you get a Christmas bonus at work every year. Maybe you're grateful for it. Maybe you don't. Or maybe even if you do, you wish it would go up with the cost of inflation. Hello. And it's easy for us to grumble. But I want to talk today and over the next few weeks about a Christmas bonus that's more important than money. About a Christmas bonus that's more valuable than money, and about a Christmas bonus that doesn't cost you anything, but you can simply receive and benefit from. In fact, what Jesus did for us in his life, in birth, life, death, resurrection, provides for us a Christmas bonus that we can access every single day. And so we're going to look at the bonus of gratitude, the bonus of forgiveness, the bonus of heaven. And as we go through this series over the next several weeks, I think we're going to be inspired about all that we can access in our lives spiritually in this time of year. Because this is the time of year where all of a sudden there's shopping to be done, there's lots of financial pressures, more things that we need to buy, you know, there's parties and social pressure and all these things coming at us. Everything seems like it's getting accelerated, it's moving so fast. You can lose perspective and you can miss the miracles happening every single day. So today I want to talk to you about the power of gratitude. Because listen, gratitude is how you keep a grip on the gifts that God has already given you. Gratitude is literally how you grow the gifts that God has given you, how you realize that the things he's provided for you are more than enough. And gratitude will literally make you happier. I mean, studies show it. Grateful people are happier people. They have a greater sense of well-being in their lives. And I think they're more honoring to God when they show gratitude to him for all that he's done for them. So I want to look today at one of my favorite Old Testament passages in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Okay, Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible. It's telling the story of the Israelite people as they're leaving captivity in Egypt, and God has finally set them free, and now they're in the wilderness, and they're headed towards the promised land of Israel. They're headed towards this land that God is going to give them, and God is supernaturally providing for them. Literally, every day, there's what's called manna on the ground. They just wake up and there's lunch, right? There's food. That God is providing water for them. God's providing direction for them. He leads them by a cloud of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire at night. He's guiding them. He's directing them. This has gone on for about 2 years. And then the 1 million plus Israelites are finally getting ready to break camp. They're going to go to the border of the promised land. They're going to enter into the promised land. This is what they think. And so as they're getting ready, you would think that they would be grateful. But instead, they start to grumble. And here's what we see. Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, we get to the red word. Say it real loud here with me. It says, soon the people began to what? Complain about their hardship. Now look at this. And the Lord heard everything they said. I find that very disconcerting, really. You know, like, it's like, yeah, we often say things. Sometimes we mean them, sometimes we don't. But it's kind of a sobering thought that the Lord hears everything you say and everything you don't say as well. The Israelites were having a miraculous journey through this miraculous season in their history, and they were missing it. Listen, gratitude actually keeps you from missing everyday miracles. It keeps you from missing everyday miracles. So how do we grow our gratitude? Well, my first thought for you is this, to give thanks continually. To give thanks continually. So 34 years ago, I walked into a church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, as a brand new believer. I'd been a believer about 6 months. I'd been sober about 6 months. And I walked into this church, and God used this church in such a powerful way in my life. He used the pastors named Skip Heitzig to open up God's word in such a way that for the first time I felt like I was understanding who God was and how he saw me and that I could have a future in my life. It was such a transformational period in my life. And it was such a cool moment this last weekend because I got to go back to that church, which is still meeting in the same building, has the same pastor 34 years later. How often does that happen? And I got to meet Pastor Skip for the first time. I got to thank him personally for the difference that he made in my life. I got to speak at this church. It was like a full circle, amazing moment for me. And as the worship's playing before the first service, I'm just standing there, and I'm fogging up my glasses. I'm crying so much, you know, like I'm wiping my face. I'm trying to pull it together. But I was remembering what it was like to be in that church and to sit in the back row as a new believer and to just listen to the Bible being explained and understanding more of who God was. And I remember when church was over, everybody would get up every weekend and race to their car to try and beat the traffic. Some of you do this. You know what I'm talking about right here. But what I remember in those early days is it was like every week the scales were falling from my eyes. It was like God was just blowing me away with who he was. I remember people would get up and leave and I would just be sitting there alone. You know, they'd be like clearing out the auditorium and I'm still sitting there processing, like, wow, it's amazing. So to be back there was incredible. You know, I walked off the platform after I spoke and I was talking to people in the church, and this guy came up to me. He said, "Judd, I used to live near Central. I used to attend Central." He said, "What this church in Albuquerque did for you, you and Central did for me." And he said, that at Central is where I came to faith. At Central is where I experienced sobriety. It's where God began to move and work in my life. And he's standing there with his wife and his two little kids, and he's bawling his eyes out. And we hugged and cried it out together standing there because it was so tender for me because it was so real. I was in the space where I had experienced that. And he's like, you know, this Central was the space where he had experienced that. And we're just two grown men crying it out. And just so grateful for the forgiveness that God gave us in Jesus Christ. We're so grateful that when we didn't see a future for ourselves, God saw a future for us. We're so grateful when we didn't see a way, God made a way. And man, when I told him goodbye, I was overwhelmed with gratitude at not only who God is, but at the power of the church community globally. There's nowhere else that stuff happens outside of the church. It's amazing. And so all weekend, this last weekend, I say thank you, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. This gratitude's been on my mind. But the thing is, I don't always have weekends like that. Come on, somebody. I have other kinds of weekends, you know? Like when I put the tree up, and we went out to, and then we got the tree out, and my wife says the tree was like a white tree, and it's getting yellow over the years, and now it's like, looks like somebody's been smoking cigarettes around it for like 20 years. It's all yellow and nasty, and Lori says, "We got to get a new tree." I'm like, "All right, you know." So she goes to get a new tree, and she gets a 9-foot tree, right, at Home Depot. They didn't have any more trees, but she got the one off the display, right, brings it back. Okay, the 9-foot tree, we get it all set up. First of all, it's a little big, our ceiling's 9 foot. So I'm like bending the top a little bit, you know, no problem. We get it set up, we plug it all in. The bottom row, the lights don't come on. And I'm like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me." And you know what we said for like 3 hours? We're like, it's fine. It's cool, man. You just put some decorations down there, you know. And then we're like, well, your father-in-law will be over for Thanksgiving. He can fix anything. He'll be able to fix it, you know. And sure enough, you know, her father-in-law comes over. He's a precious senior citizen. We got him down on his stomach, crawling around like a snake, looking under that tree, trying to get the thing. And finally, he's like, I can't fix it. It can't be fixed the way it's built and all this. And so Lori had to take the tree. We had to take all the decorations off, take the tree down, go back to Home Depot, turn the tree in, get the 7-foot tree, bring the 7-foot tree. But let me just tell you, man, gratitude was not what I was feeling. I came off this amazing weekend. Thank you, God, you're so amazing, too. Can we just get a tree the first time that works forever so this never has to happen again? This is the pattern of life. Complaining is natural, isn't it? But giving thanks is supernatural. Complaining is natural, but giving thanks is supernatural. And what we all know is true. No one ever complains their way to a better life, right? The Israelites have begun to complain. Now, you look complain up in the thesaurus. This is what it actually says. It says to cry, fret, gripe, grumble, lament, moan, beef, bellyache, carp, defy, dissent, fuss, squeak, groan, grouse, nag, snivel, wail, whimper, whine, yammer, yap, yelp, and growl. Yeah, I'm reading that. Somebody's like, you memorized all that? No, it's on the screen. Everybody relax. It's on the screen. I'm not that good. Growl. When I get really frustrated, I do growl. Anybody else growl when you get really, like, you know, I feel like our dog understands because she doesn't understand words, but if I go, she dials in somehow, like, that's not a good sound. And this is what the Israelites are doing. They're complaining. Now, the Hebrew word for complain is the word murmur, translated into English, murmur. And I think it's an interesting word, the old King James word, murmur, because it sounds like what it is. You know, murmur. You know, you ever been in the room with someone, murmur. Here we go. Same story, different day. And that's what the Israelites are doing. They're murmuring. They're complaining. You say, well, you're just complaining about the circumstances, the situation. You're just frustrated. But what happens in complaining is God actually sees complaining a lot more serious than we do. In fact, God starts to see the complaining of the Israelites as open rebellion. He sees it as rebellion. Have you ever thought about this? Complaining actually calls the sovereignty of God into question in your life. Somebody's like, why do we come to church today? It does. It's almost like saying, God, what you've done in my life, what you're doing in my life is not good enough. What you've provided for me is not good enough. When you see it spiritually, you start to understand why God gets so frustrated with his people. He's providing for them supernaturally every day, and they're giving him attitude, right? He's taking care of them, but he says they're complaining. He calls it rebellion. They're rebelling against his loving care. Here's what we read in Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 4. It says, then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We what? We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. You were captives. What are you talking about? It was free. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted, but now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. They've completely lost perspective in their lives. God's doing a supernatural work right in their midst, and they're missing the miracles every day. They've started to live a life of ingratitude. So I want to talk to you about some simple things that we can do to embrace gratitude to get this Christmas bonus in our lives this time of year. And here's a few thoughts. The first one is simply this: to focus on promises over problems. You know, the Israelites had this tremendous promise. They were headed towards the promised land. God was going to bless them. He was going to provide for them. He was going to give them everything they needed. He was literally guiding them every step along the way. But instead of focusing on the problems, they get focused on their problems. And they're like, oh man, you remember Egypt? You remember back then when we had meat and food that we really liked, and now all we have is this manna, supernatural bread that God drops from heaven for free every day that we can eat? I mean, gosh. And they start focusing on all of their problems. And I do that. We do that, right? We look at all of the stuff around us. We get focused on our problems. You're way better served when you start thanking God for his promises. Because you have the promise of forgiveness, the promise of God's Spirit working and moving in your life. You have the promise that you are headed towards heaven, toward being in the presence of God forever. The Bible never says you won't face problems. It never says you won't face challenges. But on the road, through the problems, through the challenges, we are headed towards the fulfillment of God's purpose and God's promise. Focus on the promises and give thanks. Here's another thought. Run from the rabble. Did you notice how in the text that we just read, it says that the Israelites were influenced by the foreign rabble? It says the rabble first started to complain, and then the Israelites started to complain. Have you noticed how complaining is contagious? Right? It spreads. It spreads. And, you know, sometimes you just have to set a boundary. And even though there's people that you love, people you work with, people you hang out with, maybe somebody you're sitting next to right now, even though these people, you love them, their constant negativity is killing you. And at some point, you got to step back and say, look, I got to set a healthy boundary here so that I get some space. Because if you just run with people that complain, it's almost inevitable. It's almost guaranteed you will become a complainer as well. Misery loves what? Company. And you become a complainer, and then who are you going to start attracting? Not the grateful people, because to them, you're the rabble, and they're trying to get away from all that. To save their soul and stay focused on God and protect their mental health and everything else that they need to do. So sometimes in our life, it's okay to set a boundary and say, I got to get away from some of the negativity in my life so that I can give thanks to God for his goodness. Here's a third thing, and that is to celebrate God's provision every day. So, I mean, the Israelites are out. They're in this place in the wilderness, and they wake up, and God's provided this thing, manna. I love this word manna. In the Hebrew language, it literally could be translated, what is it? So they would like get up in the morning, living in the desert, and God had provided this thin, like wafer-like substance on the ground. And somebody got up and were like, what is it? Another guy's like, I don't know. Somebody says, let's eat it. Okay. They eat it and they're like, that's pretty good. And then the next day they get up and they're like, what is it? Well, it's more. So what is it is provide for them every day, this supernatural food God lays out for them every single day. He takes care of all of their needs, but they look past all of that and they complain. They've forgotten God's provision. Listen, gratitude, giving thanks, keeps you from missing your everyday miracles. So maybe this week, the challenge is simply this. Before you get out of bed, just say, God, thank you. Before you wake up, just say, thank you that I'm here. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for the sleep that I got. Thank you that the sun's shining. Thank you for the hot showers, for coffee. Can we all get behind coffee? Right? Thank you for the people in my life. Thank you for the things that I get to do. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for the holidays, the music, the lights, the colors. Thank you, Jesus. F1 is over. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Just saying, God, finally. Thank you for all the good plans you have. Thank you for handling all the things that are too big for me. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for watching over the people I care about. Thank you for our church. Thank you for all the people who return to you in this season. Thank you for loving us all. Thank you that you're big enough to run the whole world and near enough to care about me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just give thanks continually. You'll be better for it. You'll be happier for it. And what you already have will grow more significant as you give thanks for it. Here's another thought, and that is to set healthy boundaries. Set healthy boundaries. Sometimes we complain because we've put ourselves in situations where we don't have healthy boundaries and we're just completely overwhelmed. We've got to set healthy boundaries. I mean, I saw this on social media. Those of you with little kids, you'll appreciate this. It says, how much time passes from the minute I drop kids at school until I pick them up 7 hours later? Approximately 37 minutes. That's what it feels like, right? How much time passes from the minute I pick them up from school until they finally fall asleep that night? Exactly 19 days, 22 hours, 49 minutes, and 37 seconds. Isn't that what it feels like some days? You're like, man, wow. Life is complicated, and there's a lot of things coming at us. But one of the things, one of the challenges you see in Numbers chapter 11 is the importance of healthy boundaries. Moses says this in chapter 11, beginning in verse 13. Now remember, Moses is the leader. All these Israelites who are complaining, he's responsible for them. And he says to God, they keep whining to me. Gotta love that. He's like, God, come on, they keep whining to me. They're saying, give us meat to eat. He says, I can't carry all these people, what? By myself. Somebody's going to quote this in the kitchen this week, right? I cannot carry this whole family by my. I can't do all the dishes and all the laundry and all the stuff by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me now. This is classic. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. This is Moses, the great Charlton Heston. This is the great man of God, Moses. Just go ahead and take me out, God. Just kill me now. Do me a favor and spare me this misery. Anybody relate to this? It's like, look, God, you know, these people, man, I cannot carry this burden. It's too heavy. If you don't help me, then just kill me. This is what Moses is saying in Numbers 11. And God comes along and does something amazing, fascinating. He says to Moses, he doesn't see this prayer as just complaining. He sees through it that Moses is actually coming to God and asking for help. Listen, it's one thing to just complain to other people who can't do anything about it. It's another thing to cry out to God who can actually do something about it, right? That's not necessarily complaining. That might just be what we call prayer. God, help me. Moses, he cries out to God. He's like, I can't do all this by myself. And God literally gives him direction. He says, I want you to pick 70 people, leaders from the Israelites, and I want you to delegate to them. He acknowledges you're trying to carry too much stuff. Some of us, we get into really negative, complaining headspaces in our lives in seasons when we're trying to carry too many things on our own. Some of you are trying to be all things to all people. Right? In fact, you're trying to do it and you can't. Turn to somebody and say, I can't do it all. Doesn't that feel good? I can't do it all. Somebody's adding to that. We're just supposed to stop. Like, I can't do it all. I need you to pick up the slack. No way. Listen, you can only be who God wired you and called you to be. Like, the degree to the degree that it's possible, do the things that only you can do. Look, only you can be a mom or a dad. Only you can be a son or a daughter. Only you can worship God from your heart. Only you can do certain things at home or at work or at church that God has gifted you to do. Spend more time caring about the things that only you can do and seek others' help to do what only they can do. Stop complaining and start delegating. Right? That's the challenge from Moses' life. My Moses moment came on an American Airlines flight. I was flying from Atlanta back to Las Vegas on a Friday night. Not cool. And all the planes coming in, you know, on Friday night are usually sold out. And this one was sold out. We were packed in like sardines. I was back in the back corner of the plane, and we're flying along, and everybody around me is getting drinking a lot, getting loud as the flight goes on. We start getting closer to Vegas, and the guy next to me holds up his glass. I don't know if it was him or somebody around him. They start singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall. Like, on an American Airlines flight, the stewardess starts singing along the whole back part of the plane. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. 98 bottles of beer on the wall. 97, you know, and they just go down, 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 down. They just keep going, right? And I'm looking out the window of the American Airlines flight. And I'm not in a good place. And I remember sitting there, and it was a moment, one of the lowest moments of my life. I actually, not because they were singing 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall. One of the few times I really thought about throwing in the towel. I remember looking out the window and thinking, I don't know if I can keep being a pastor. I mean, I remember saying, it's not working, God. We're singing 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall on the plane flying back to my city, and this is normal. I don't think it's working. I don't think I'm your guy. I think you picked the wrong dude to do this job. I was tired. I was worn out. And I got home, and I remember I had some really honest conversations. This was about 10 years ago with our board of elders and directors at the church, with my wife, with my family. It was serious. And they helped me. And one of the things that they ensured that I did was I set up healthier boundaries around myself so that I don't try to carry more than I can carry. I don't try to do more than I'm called to do. And that act, while it's hard and it bothers the control freak in me, actually like has kept me in all these years and given me life and energy. And I think even now as I look out to the next month and the holidays and all the things, those lessons are still with me. I've already looked at my calendar. I've looked at every single day of the next 30 days. I've looked at exactly what I'm doing. I've determined exactly what I could do but I shouldn't do. Come on, somebody. I've looked at exactly what I need to give myself to so that when we get to our Christmas services, I'm excited and alive so that we can do the things that we're supposed to do as a church. You have that as in your family, in your situation. My challenge to you now is look out at the next month. Look out at all the things that are coming at you. Get intentional about setting some healthy boundaries, doing the things that God has called you to do, loving the people that he's called you to love, loving them well, and not getting it all washed out in the craziness of the season. Because what will that lead to? Burnout, grumbling, complaining, and that's right where the Israelites are. And so God helps Moses put boundaries in place that actually helps him continue on. So this season, we have a bonus through what Jesus has already accomplished for us. Forgiveness, love, goodness, peace, joy. We have an opportunity to give thanks continually, to set healthy boundaries in our lives, and to realize that gratitude actually keeps us from missing everyday miracles. I love this quote by Ben Stein. He says, I cannot tell you anything that in a few minutes will make you rich. But he says, I can tell you how to feel rich, which is far better. Be grateful. Be grateful about everything, and you'll feel a lot richer than the billionaires I know who are always moaning about everything that happens. He says it's the only totally reliable get-rich-quick scheme. Be grateful. Give thanks. We all have a bonus that Jesus has accomplished for us, and we can all be grateful for it. And if nothing changes this holiday from last year, if everything's the same, same job, same problem, same difficulty, same situation, you can change your perspective by giving thanks continually, setting some healthy boundaries, and realizing that that gratitude allows you to see and celebrate miracles God's doing around you every single day. Maybe you're here and maybe you've never crossed that line of faith in your life. And I'd love to give you the opportunity to reach out to God, to trust him in your life, to give thanks to him. So I want to ask all of you, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And if you'd like to become a follower of Jesus, you could begin that journey by repeating a simple prayer after me. Just say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just acknowledge you're going to trust him. If you're watching from home, if you're watching inside a prison facility, just slip your hand in the air, whatever location you may be at, just reach out to God. Trust him today. Just give thanks to him for his love, his forgiveness in Jesus. Just confess your faith. God, we thank you for your love. I thank you for each person reaching out to you, and I pray you will do an awesome, amazing work in their life as they follow you. We thank you for these moments where we can come together and worship you. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, there are a couple of things that I'd love for you to do. Make sure to subscribe and review this podcast and connect with us on social media by following at Central Online. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Central. You can simply visit centralchurch.online/give, and you can give a gift today. And thanks again for joining us on the Central Church Podcast.